electrician.
No reason to live without you. No reason to live without you.
Alright, welcome to the Hallyu Wave. This is exciting because, one, Sanjay Chan's back, which is always awesome.
Hello.
Yes, so we told you she would be. But as well, this is also our first Korean film review. And for me, Sanjo, I don't know about you, but I've watched a lot of random Asian films. And especially when I was first getting into J-dramas, I was like, okay, I could watch a J-drama or I could just watch a movie. And the only thing I do remember is that Hong Kong films were my favorite. But other than that, I didn't generally remember if I was watching a Korean film, if I was watching a Japanese film. It just kind of all ran together in this, you know, glob of Asian films that I was watching at the time. So I know you're a fan of K-dramas, of course, but have you branched out heavily into Korean films as well?
Actually, Korean films before watching Korean dramas. I've been all over the place. I mean, you know, it's Japanese movies and then Chinese movies and then Korean movies. And then eventually I watched some K-dramas as well. I don't watch much both J-dramas and Korean dramas because I'm picky about, you know, I guess the stories. But you know, I've been watching more dramas lately and not as much Korean movies as I used to, but also obtaining them is also the issue, because also I'm glad that sites like Hulu and Netflix are starting to carry them more, so that's cool.
Yes, the J-drama fan in me is upset that J-dramas are hardly getting any recognition on Hulu and sites like that, but I also know that's probably the Japanese companies just aren't working out distribution deals. But the Korean fan in me is really excited because, yes, I mean, there's definitely tons of Korean dramas on Crunchyroll, on Hulu, on Netflix. And kind of, I guess, tying into what we're reviewing, there's movies as well, including the one that we are covering today, which is 19. So I guess just transitioning now to kind of preface 19. So this is a film that immediately, as a K-pop fan, you should just know Seungri and Top are in it from Big Bang.
Mm-hmm.
I figure at this point, half of our listeners just paused it or just cut it off entirely and raced to go find the movie.
Mm-hmm.
There is more plot, though, than just those two being in there. And actually, I'm going to just not be able to hide my enthusiasm because I really liked it. So I was going to just say I thought it was a very good plot, and essentially, here it goes. It focuses on three teenagers, specifically 19, so in their final year of being a teenager. And they're all kind of seemingly very separate people, except for the fact that they're all 19. Now, they do have one kind of connecting factor, and that is this specific girl. Now, kind of, you don't get a whole lot of view for Seungri, and then from the girl, Hyo-Jae? Not really sure how to pronounce her name.
Yoongae, I think.
Yoongae.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'll take your word on that. But yeah, so, because it's basically two guys and then one girl, and so they all have connection with, again, this one girl who I believe is also 19. And the biggest connection is Tops. And he kind of is basically, well, she asks him out. He's playing the almost adorable, even for me, really awkward character. Goes out and life seems like it's going well. The next thing you know, she's been murdered. And simply put, all three of these characters are blamed for the murder due to their connection with the girl, even if it's very, you know, just slight connection. and they have to go on the run. That's essentially kind of the plot. And I'm going to try to see Sanjo if we can. Definitely want to get kind of in depth with parts of this. So I guess this is the spoiler-free part so far, and we'll kind of talk about maybe specific scenes as we go on. But I just wanted to know, what do you think of the movie?
I thought it was well done too, but also at the same time it has this indie vibe to it. I don't remember much promotion for the movie, maybe because it, I don't know, between 2008 and 2009 there was a lot happening, so I guess, you know, what happened with the group since they had just wrapped up promotions for their second album, and then the time they took off, I guess, to pursue the Japanese promotions. I don't remember much of it. And then, yeah, G-Dragon solo album. But anyway, yeah, I thought, you know, it was pretty good.
Yeah, for me, just kind of researching it, I did see that I think it did really well, despite the lack of promotions, if that's the case. Because, well, of course, it has Big Bang members, so did they really have to do a lot?
No, I don't think, you know, they didn't have to do a lot. You know, they just... I just know that everyone, says like T.O.P., he was being himself, and then Sunri especially being the shy one. I thought that was cute, too.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was very, very cool. And kind of getting to that in just a second, but answer your element of indie film. I will say something about my favorite non-action films, and this one has some action, definitely, as it's, you know, being evading the police, these three, you know, 19-year-olds, but it, you're right. I feel that a lot of the Asian films that I really am drawn to are very similar to indie films here, and I don't know why that's the case so much, or maybe just culturally they do different kind of movies. And I do know, like, I'm kind of worried with any, I guess, Korean films and dramas to a degree, because especially the dramas, I know they get so emotional, some of them almost soap opera-y. And so I'm like, okay, I want this to be emotional, but I want it to be good, and I don't want it to be just like, you know, like, oh, I don't know, I guess, again, soap opera-y.
I guess looking at the movie before watching it, it looked like an indie film, you know, with the quality, like, you know, like I said, not a lot of promotion and such. And then you compare that with blockbuster Korean movies like the upcoming one with Rain, Return to Base, and then you have most recent one, You're My Pet, the Korean version of You're My Pet. You know, they look like mainstream Korean movies compared to 19, and that's why I was, you know, like, it gave me the... impression that it was, you know, that kind of movie.
Okay, well, and again, you've watched more than I have, so I've got one film that did come to mind, and we're totally going to have to review this. I might give it some space between our music reviews, just so we can keep that going, but it's A Man Who Was Superman, and in a lot of ways too, just kind of based on what you're saying, I feel it would also be considered a relatively indie film by comparison to some of the blockbusters, which I'm excited to look into the blockbusters, especially now knowing that Rain's coming back. See, I didn't know that, so very awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, have you seen Sunri and T.O.P. act before in a drama?
If you count those, if I don't remember the term of it, I think it's called Banjin dramas, which is parody, actually, no, I think they're like more like original dramas, but this is like a parody. There's about three parodies starring the Big Bang members. One I remember from the top of my head is a parody of Beethoven Virus, which is like 10 minutes long. And just to give you a summary of it, it's a parody of Beethoven Virus, which you have T.O.P.'s character as the conductor, and then Sunri as the female lead, and then G-Dragon as Jung Eun-suk's character. And everything is summarized in 10 minutes.
Wow.
And so, yep.
That kind of sounds hilarious. But yes, definitely maybe acting of a different sort, because comedy is kind of a whole different beast. But were you impressed by them? I thought they did really well, personally.
And me too. Yeah, I thought they did very well.
Yeah, it just kind of reminded me, again, going back to J-dramas, where they use a lot of their musicians and non-actor celebrities as actors as well. And I keep wondering, I'm like, why can't the U.S. have some good cross-promotion actors?
Yeah, me neither. I don't know. It's probably just one of those things that people get picky about. They want to see, you know, you have to stick in your own industry, I guess. And it seems to me that in Korea, since it's a big deal, because I know there's a couple of idols who were criticized for doing something they shouldn't, and I don't know if it's, that's the case or not.
Well, yeah, I figure not everybody's going to be perfect, but especially in Korea, I mean, the labels themselves and their companies are going to push them to do dramas to make them more publicized, make more money for the company overall, even if they don't get any directly, and that just means that their albums will sell well. So I think maybe it is, like you're saying, over here they don't really cross genres. You know, you sing, you act, you don't necessarily do those together unless you're like Jared Leto from 30 Seconds to Mars. And he's one of the few guys that can really pull it off. But yeah, otherwise, I guess in Korea, it's just the norm. So, and Japan, again. Well, I guess kind of progressing on. So, I have a couple items to talk about. And I don't think this will necessarily come into spoiler territory. But if you want to take it there, feel free to just flash a spoiler warning.
All right.
Yep. First, I was going to say, of course, with Big Bang, you expect some music. And I thought not only the couple scenes where we saw the members actually do music, but I thought like even just the music by not Big Bang also just fit like every scene so well.
Mm-hmm. Especially TLP, because, well, it was this movie, so it was this break. Yeah, and you know, like in the beginning, I was thinking it would be, you know, another kind of music and not just, you know, not rap. But yeah, that's also, I guess, the benefit of being a musician, I guess, or idol to do everything and you'd be able to provide your own music for your movie.
Yeah, definitely. It's very convenient, that's for sure. But yeah, I did like, especially like right at the beginning, I mean, his character is just kind of this 19-year-old guy. He doesn't really seem to have direction in life. He seems pretty distant from his family, but he's kind of embraced his job, which is working at an internet cafe, and he's also kind of an amateur rapper, basically. So you get to see some early, albeit not like, you know, overly impressive full production rap, but still, I'm like, yes, way to go, T.O.P.
And also, the going to spoilers a bit, when we see him like in the middle of the movie doing a rap battle, you know, it's like a prelude to, I guess, his future goals, especially like at the end of the movie where you see all the characters going through their routine, daily routine, and he's the only one that you don't see, you know, doing what they're doing, but he's on the stage rapping, so I guess that's his goal in life, is to rap.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I really thought that was kind of interesting, too, getting kind of spoiler territory, because Seungri, he basically plays this sheltered rich kid whose dad seems to be almost, if you ever watch anime, there's so many father figures that just seem so intense and kind of angry at their kids all the time and expect perfection, which is kind of an Asian stereotype, but it's in anime, so I guess it's not a stereotype when they're doing it. But... Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I didn't expect his direction to be music necessarily, even though I'm like, okay, it's so great, they're probably going to make him sing some point. But I thought that was very cool. Yeah, I think, too, it just the dynamic between the three characters works so well, and partly because this is kind of getting to a theme of the movie, it's a very coming-of-age film. I mean, it's purposefully about 19-year-olds, which I don't... So, Sanjo, what's the official age when you're, quote-unquote, an adult in Korea?
It's 19, okay. To my knowledge, because when you think about it, it's actually 18, but since they go by the calendar, the lunar calendar, is a year older, so technically it's 18. But 19.
I was thinking, because I know Japan's 20, so they always have a big deal when it's, you know, like Japanese celebrities' birthdays. And I did know, because I guess IU turned 20 recently, so I know, just having followed her in the last couple of years, that they do kind of make a big deal about her still being the little sister, but kind of being an adult. But even so, you know, like, even when you turn 18, you know, here in the States or wherever, you're technically an adult, but you may still be conflicted. I mean, you're just out of high school, maybe you're going to college, maybe you're finding a job. You're kind of, you know, forced to face all these realities that life has to bring. And I thought that was played out wonderfully in the three characters that made up, you know, the featured actors in the film.
But also, too, you think about it, between Korea and the U.S., it seems like characters are, the people in real life, they're doing things at a younger age, like 16. So that would be interesting to compare, you know, the cultural differences between the ages in both countries.
Yeah, and that was something I was kind of thinking the whole time. I'm like, okay, so you guys are making a big deal, especially, I don't know much about the girl, but especially Big Bang and Sunray, or T.O.P. and Sunray. I'm like, okay, you guys are making a big deal about 19, that's kind of the theme of the film, and it works, it's great. But weren't you guys probably, like, doing stuff for YG for, like, 6 years plus? Obviously, they just had their anniversary. They're a little older than 19 in real life, but still, I'm like, you guys started young.
Yeah, so too, it's funny, because this movie was made, having the movie made in 2009, T.O.P. would have been at least 20 or 21, so it doesn't work out for him, but it works out for Sunri, because he's the maknae, the junior member of the group.
Oh, that explains a lot. He always seems to be separated like that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, well, and thankfully, unlike some, you know, you get American TV shows where you get 30-year-olds playing like 16-year-olds, so it's not like they were a true stretch in that regard. Kind of going again with some of the themes of coming in age and family, I thought it was interesting because they, specifically with each of the characters, and again, totally spoiler, but basically, as they're going through this chase, like very early on, you kind of know things about the characters that they're not willing to admit to others themselves. Sunri's character has basically been taking to the girl that was eventually murdered, taking pictures, and just kind of fell in love with her, you know, from a distance. And T.O.P., again, basically has this one night, very brief, not even a lot going on romance, but still enough to where, you know, he didn't want to tell the police about it for fear of being thought as guilty, but also didn't tell the, you know, the two others that, you know, he ends up meeting when they all escape from the jail. And the girl herself, you also see an opening scene where she's fighting with the, you know, soon-to-be-murdered girl, and it's kind of one of those things where all these secrets are gradually revealed, and I especially loved Sunri's, because early on, he, like, the police officer, which is a whole other angle, I really loved what they did with the detectives. The detectives, you know, so abrasive with these kids, and so it worked really well, because Sunri, who's this uber-polite rich kid, basically just kind of cracks under pressure, and is like, I did it, is that what you want to hear? And so the whole time, you know, when they end up, these three, you know, kind of the odd trio end up getting together and running away, I mean, the only thing they have is trust between themselves that they didn't kill the girl, and that's kind of fractured the most with Sunri's realization. And I thought that was a good tense moment, because I kind of thought, you have a lot of these movies where everything's going so well, I'm like, no, they have to split up at some point.
Mm-hmm. Essentially, T.O.P. Really goes on to the, goes to the, scoring the spoilers, by the way. He goes to the beach, and then he breaks down and cries because he thinks back to what his parents said, and then to the police officer, he breaks down and cries, which I guess he was afraid to admit in front of the the other guys. So, you know, that's another thing I noticed.
Yeah, I felt when I watched that moment, 1,000 fangirls going, aww.
Aww.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was very, very cool. I think, all overall, again, one of the elements that people may not notice as much, I mean, it's definitely a plot point, but is the detective who basically has this tragic past and deals with teenagers, and so he kind of hates teenagers, and so that's why he's doggedly pursuing these, you know, potential felons, even after his, you know, co-detective is basically like, are you sure they're really the guys, or are you just kind of going out after them for whatever?
Mm-hmm. It turns out that he is pursuing them because of a past that has something to do with him, but just brings like bad memories to him.
Yeah, I don't like that, because that kind of reminds me, if you've ever seen the movie with Harrison Ford of The Fugitive, is you kind of have this excellent chase where you have, you know, the characters trying to get away, but you also learn about the, you know, detective and, you know, detectives themselves. And so I felt very, very fulfilled, I guess, by getting to know so many characters, even though it really just kind of boils down to, you know, the events of so few people.
And another favorite part, which is more spoilers, it's like towards the end where his partner handcuffs the head detective to whoever was up on the rooftop, and I guess it tells him to calm down and, you know, just think about what you're doing, and then you let the kids get away. And then come towards the end, going towards the end, he finally, you know, understands what's going on, and the kids get off without, well, too much of an incident. They still get in trouble, but they still let off because they have a lot to learn. Well, they learned a part of, you know, that being 18 isn't easy, and that the detective himself, too, has, you know, shared moments as the kids. So that's another, you know, I guess what you call a deep breath, happy ending, I guess.
Yeah, I thought it was a very, very good ending. The only thing I was disappointed at, and I don't even want to spoil this, was basically when you find out who actually killed the girl. And I was like, okay, that makes sense, because I watch a whole lot of crime shows, and I'm like, usually it's going to be somebody that has already been introduced in the episode, or in this case, in the movie. So you really have a narrow cast of characters as to who it would be. But I was still both shocked, dismayed, although, I mean, the character's made to be really, really kind of, I mean, you're not going to like him by the end. And I thought that was fine, but at the beginning I was like, oh, it seemed like such an alright person.
Yeah, me too.
So, who knows? You can't trust anybody these days, Sanjo.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, getting into not even so much big, grandiose themes of the film or anything like that, how awesome was it seeing a DDR battle, even as brief as it was?
Oh, yes, it was awesome. They're having so much fun. But too bad that T.O.P. didn't get on there. I don't know why. He should get on there some more.
T.O.P.'s just too cool. He's like, you know what? I'm going to just stand over by the side and I'll just let you guys do it. But I'll get the ladies.
But it seems like he always, I guess he saves up his stances for behind the scenes of music videos, because he always go chum, 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 chum. He has a little swag going when you see him in the videos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that could be it. Especially, I know, with Eat Your Kimchi, they've been talking about, they're like, we want to see T.O.P. get kind of more involved. I'm like, he does his thing. It works. It's his thing. Yeah, like you said, man's got swag. Yeah, and actually, speaking of him, and you referenced it earlier, and again, spoiler, awesome rap battle. Sad that didn't end up with a more ultimate conclusion with, you know, like a definite winner, but I think we all knew who was winning.
Mm-hmm.
And even that, you know, shortly thereafter, I say shortly, probably like 25 minutes after, when you finally do hear Sunri sing. And I'll have to say, he's actually the member I know least about in Big Bang now. So I was like, this is kind of awesome.
And also, you also get the, you see the is a style of music different from, you know, from the other members, which is mostly R&B, but his is mostly I guess more Justin Timberlake, not quite urban, but neo-urban, I guess you would call it.
Yeah.
But not R&B, but totally different.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, and I thought, too, again, going way to the end with spoilers, but I thought, too, that that was kind of hinted at just his different, unique style. Maybe not with Big Bang, but that character that he was playing with kind of the pink jacket that he's wearing as he's starting to write music.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed like a little touch that kind of just really worked for the film. Well, cool. All in all, I would have to say, personally, and I'll let you kind of summarize your thoughts too, that I would definitely highly recommend this. Not only is it free on Hulu, I repeat, free on Hulu, and if you have Hulu Plus like Sanjo, you get to avoid all the ads. But it's just really, honestly, in my opinion, like a really good movie. Normally, coming-of-age movies do screen indie, especially the American ones, and I don't really like them, because, especially at my age, it either makes me feel old, or I just feel awkward, because so many of the coming-of-age scenarios are rather forced. And while this was definitely unlikely, you know, three people all connected by one girl who was murdered, you know, blamed for the death, despite really not knowing each other, you know, very unlikely, but still worked out amazingly. The characters grew, you felt like you grew with them, and it just kind of was wonderful.
I had a lot of high hopes for this movie when I read the synopsis about it, not because T.O.P. and Sungri's in it, but the movie itself, because seeing that, you know, this is like Korean movies, or Asian films in general have this difference, you know, that you can't, this thing you can't find in American movies nowadays. But I wasn't annoyed at, no, there wasn't any repetitiveness that you find in film, so everything flowed naturally, and that's one of my winning points in the movie is comes out, their acting and such, the singing comes out naturally.
Great, definitely like great acting on everybody's part. I was really impressed, and although I would prefer them to keep working on music, I would not mind at all if T.O.P. and Sungri, even not necessarily together, did another film.
And one more thought about T.O.P. I wonder if this is one of his earlier films that encouraged him to do more acting, because since this movie, well, I guess around the same year, or at least maybe a year earlier, he was in a drama called Iris, which he plays a assassin, if I remember correctly.
Oh, I didn't know he was in Iris.
Yeah,
I never watched it, but that one looked amazing.
I haven't watched it either, but it's also one of those dramas that I'm don't want to watch, because it's, if you put that together with I Love to Kill, which starts Rain, you know, it's just, you know, it would be depressing, you know, to see your favorite character who's normally goofy, which is like Rain and T.O.P. are, they're naturally goofy, you know, when you're behind, you know, away from the camera, but then you know, you don't want to see him do anything, you know, that would make you depressed, I guess, that's why I don't want to see it.
I understand. That's K-pop fan ideology right there.
And lastly, he's also in a movie coming up called Alumni, which he plays a child of a North Korean personality. And, you know, I don't remember much of it, but that's all I can remember now. But I guess this is the beginning of a acting career for T.O.P., even though a lot of his roles have been kind of, you know, following the gritty side as of late.
Yeah. Well, and I know just from talking to even voice actors, you know, they always love trying different roles, and sometimes if you're doing gritty, that means you're working hard, but also can be pretty fun. So whether we want to see him be all gritty is another story, but I'm sure he can pull it off. All right, well, we hope you enjoyed our first Korean film review. We plan on doing others in the future, but we have Kara, hopefully new G-Dragon, and so much other music coming out. Next week, I'm actually joined by a friend of both of ours, Kim, and we're going to be covering D-Unit. But after that, we will have to see. It just all depends on what comes out when. So in the meantime, if you want to follow us or message us, you can always contact us via howyouwavepodcast@gmail.com. You can also message us or like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/thehowyouwave. And yeah, that's mainly it. You can follow me on Twitter at Tokyo Tower WAWL. But how can they follow you, Sanjo Chan?
Hey, I'm on Twitter, Sanjo Chan, Sanjo underscore Chan, is SANJO_CHAN. And you can read my blog, full of otaku goodies, Sentaku Mei, which can be found at CTNTAKUME.info.
Very cool. Well, thank you again for joining us, and thanks for kicking off, hopefully, the first of many, albeit sporadic, Korean film and drama reviews.
No problem.
Until then, I just hope you out there in podcast land keep checking us out. So, bye-bye.
Bye.